Good to see you tonight, and glad that we have a few moments together now to study and from God's Word. I invite you to turn to 2 Chronicles 34, as Tanner read for us. In a moment, we'll come back to that text. We'll kind of begin there in just a minute and then move from there. I appreciate that you're here. We have a number who are outside limiting and because of some exposures they've had with COVID, so we understand that. We're glad that everybody is able to be here and provide this opportunity now to study from God's Word. It reminds me of about every day it seems like I lose something or forget where I put something. I know you've never experienced that. Oh, yeah, no. Morris is a walking look for his keys, right? So I know that already. But so it kind of goes without saying, have you ever lost anything? I mean, some months back, I couldn't find a safe deposit key. Speaking of keys, I was looking everywhere. I finally decided, well, I just can't find it. So I went down to the bank and, you know, did the whole routine, drilling out the old key, putting in a new one, all that. Well, last week I found it. So live and learn. But it probably won't be the last time. But the question tonight is, have you ever lost your Bible? And I suspect that we probably may have had times, there's times I've had wondered, where did I put that? Where did I place that? And you may have had the same thing. But imagine a nation that was God's special people. God had chosen them. God had put His name upon them. God had secured for them a homeland. With His favor and by His grace, driven out enemies. Some they didn't drive out. It became thorns in their flesh as a result. But God had blessed them immensely. But over time, they had lost the Word of God. It's an amazing story there, that part of which Tanner read for us a moment ago, that the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. So let's just imagine losing God's Word. The book of the law of the Lord, the book of the covenant, it says later in verse 30, and it was found in the temple. Now imagine that. It had been so laid aside, pushed aside, that and not even brought out, that over time, decade upon decade upon decade, they didn't even have it. Oh, I suppose they alluded to it. They may have had talked about it, but to actually read it, this was a new thing. You see their surprise, you see their wonderment of it all as they brought it to the king. Hilkiah gave it to the scribe, and the scribe brings it to the king, and the king Josiah. And of course, as you read on, Josiah he tore his clothes. He in repentance, he led a reformation there according to God's word. But that's what we want to build upon tonight. Is we say, well, we're not going to lose the Word of God, but the fact is, we are in danger of losing the Word of God in our lives. If we're not careful, and we're in danger of losing the Word of God in His church, if we're not careful, in the house of God. You know, we're the house of God today. Is it possible we could lose the Bible, even though we have it, every one of us, right now in front of us? And of course, the answer is yes, we can. Let's just make some applications, some simple applications of that principle. You know, the Bible can be lost in the home. When the Bible is not learned and lived and taught and learned and lived in the home, over time, it's lost practically, and its truths become lost, and no longer a foundation for life. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, you remember that Paul remembered the Timothy's grandmother, Lois, and his mother Eunice, how that they had faith, and that from a child they had taught Timothy the sacred writings. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. From a childhood, you've known the Holy Scriptures that were able to make you wise unto salvation through faith that's in Christ. His mother and grandmother instilled within him a knowledge and respect for the Word of God and an application of God's Word. Well, that same example is important for us to follow and think about ourselves in our homes as we rear children and as we continue to live even after children or beyond or out of the home. Is that we need to realize that if we lose the Bible, if it's no longer our basis for our marriages, over time our marriages will suffer. Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators, adulterers, God will judge. If God's teaching about husbands and wives and marriage is not kept before us in our relationship, directing us in how we treat each other, over time, marriages become destroyed. Marriage suffers. The members of a family have responsibilities that the Word of God speaks to, not just as husbands and wives, but as parents and children and as siblings to each other. All of those things are important and taught in God's Word. Again, Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So parents are to be teaching children obedience. Honor your father and mother. The law said that, which is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with you and you may dwell or live long on the earth. And you fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So our homes, if each member of the family is not giving attention, if we're not constantly using God's Word to help us become better husbands, better wives, better parents, better children, then over time, those truths begin to fade and the Bible is lost practically when it needs to be found and used. We need to make room in our hearts, make room in our homes for the Bible. John 8:37. One of the reasons they were trying to kill Jesus said, "Why are you trying to kill me?" Well, he had an answer for them. Sometimes we wonder, why is it people refuse truth? Why is it they have no regard for the Word of God? Don't even want to hear it. Well, I think we might have part of the answer here. John 8:37. He said, "You seek to kill me because my Word has no place in you." My Word has no place in you. When the Word of God has no place in us, it won't have a place in our home. If I don't have God's Word in me, it won't have a place in my life as a husband or as a wife, as a parent or as a child. So the Bible can be lost. And the point is we need to be sure that it's not lost by keeping its truths in our lives, in our hearts. Make room for God's Word. Be using God's Word, reading God's Word, learning it, teaching it, learning it every day. Not just wait until we come here on Sundays or on Wednesdays, but let our Bibles be a part of our life in the home. That's an important thing, or else it'll be lost. The Bible's lost in division. You know, the Bible has a good deal to say in the gospel about the troubling matter of division among those who should be at peace and united. In 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, Paul said, "It's been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, from the household of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." Each is saying, "I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul?" This division was growing in the church in Corinth after men, aligning themselves after this fellow or that fellow instead of after Jesus. What had happened? Was it that the truth was not being taught? Was it that God's Word was not there? Well, God's Word was there, but it had lost its place. It had become twisted by carnal impulses. We see that in chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. He said, you're still carnal. For where there's envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when you say, I am of Paul and I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? First of all, he says, brethren, acknowledge that where you are spiritually, you're not acting spiritually, you're acting against those things that are spiritual, carnal, fleshly. And God's word practically had been lost. They were not appealing to God's word, they were appealing to the flesh. Selfishness and pride. Diotrephes is an illustration of that in 3 John verses 9 and 10. A man who loved to have the preeminence, to the point that if you didn't accept his preeminence, then you just weren't welcome. He was not just content with having the preeminence, he said, but speaking against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself doesn't receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. So Diotrephes had a ready accusation against those who didn't acknowledge him and elevate him and receive things from his point of view. Well, he was carnal. He was not good. He was evil in that. He loved preeminence, and in his pride, the word of God was being lost. It was not having the effect God wanted it to have. So for us to avoid that, we have to commit ourselves every day. We have to devote ourselves constantly to truth and to each other and to being servants of each other rather than elevating and demanding those things that are of the flesh and of ourself. We have to live for one another. Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Look at that verse with me again. It's a familiar verse, but remind ourselves that to walk worthy of our calling, how do we do that? Well, with all lowliness. Not partial, but with all lowliness and gentleness. Long-suffering and bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. If we don't do that, practically, the Word of God is lost. Because then we're not driven by those elements of truth, but by the elements that are carnal, fleshly, and destructive. So, we don't want to lose God's Word in the house of God by being drawn away by things that are against Christ, things that are anti-spiritual. The Bible can be lost through apathy also, by just not being concerned, just being indifferent toward truth, toward righteousness, toward each other, toward trying to save the lost, toward personal responsibilities. Apathy can reveal itself in a lot of different ways. Just lacking concern about the things where that ought to demand our concern and that we ought to live with concern, these concerns. For example, church in Laodicea. Remember, Jesus said, I know your works, that you're neither cold or hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. Now, here's how that apathy was illustrated, and it says, because you say, I'm rich, and have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and you don't know, he says, that you're wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I'm rich. I'm a member of the Church of Christ. Well, good. You're rich. Now, what do you do with that wealth? I don't need anything. Well, Paul said, if we think that way, then we don't even know yet. We're not even thinking yet the way we ought to think. You don't know, he said, that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Because you see, you've put your confidence in yourself, and you become unconcerned, indifferent, apathetic, lukewarm about the things that really matter. The things that reach into eternity. Apathy. Apathy promotes drifting. When we are unconcerned about our neighbor, about our brother, about our sister, when we're unconcerned about truth, when we're unconcerned about going to the Bible for God's will and God's way, without question, we're drifting. Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 1 said, "We must therefore give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward," he's talking about the Old Testament there, "how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" Those under the law of Moses were punished. Sin, transgression, disobedience received its just reward, its just punishment. But how are we going to escape if we neglect the great salvation we have in Christ, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard? So he's warning us, don't become apathetic, neglectful in our faith. Listen carefully to God's word so you don't lose it. So that your faith doesn't become weak and wavering, and the very same thing happened practically as when they found the book of the law in the house of God. We can read it, but if we're not committed to it, we become apathetic toward it, then we've lost the Bible in our life. We need to get it back. We need to turn that attitude and repent of that attitude. We need to recommit the values of faith that the gospel teaches us. Go on to chapter 6 and see the writer say in verse 9, Hebrews 6, 9, "Beloved, we're confident of better things concerning you." Now, yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. He had rebuked them pretty sternly in the previous passage. But he says, we speak this way, but it's because we're confident of better things. We know that's not where you will be. We want you to move beyond that. He says, "God is not unjust to forget your work. You've labored, the labor of love that you've shown toward His name. You've served the saints and still do minister to them." God knows that. God sees that. But He says, don't rest on the past. Don't rest on your laurels. "We desire that each of you show the same diligence that you've shown in the past to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish," lazy, spiritually lazy, "but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." God's made promises for us to inherit. But they won't be inherited through lazy faith, but by imitating the enduring faith of the fathers as taught in scriptures and of like Abraham and others. He goes on to talk about Abraham in that text. If we have become spiritually lazy, then let's correct that, lest the Bible is lost in our lives, like it has no place, it has no relevance, it is of little concern to really know and live the Word of God by faith. Well, here's another way the Bible can be lost, and that's through sensationalism. Remember Simon in Acts 8th chapter? He was a pretty sensational guy on the surface. I mean, he had people believing he was the great power of God. He was using the magical arts there, the pharmakia. He's astounding them that he was a great man, his sorcery there in Samaria. And people were saying, "Wow, he's got the great power of God. Wow, what a fellow!" Now we see some people like that these days, and they get pretty big crowds, pretty big followings around the world, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, sometimes even more. You see, following men causes the Bible to be lost on personalities. See, that's the problem: is that a big personality, if we're not careful, a big personality can sway us because of the personality, not because of the message. Well, his message was false. His message was deceptive. He didn't have the great power of God, but he was astonishing the people. Well, so where's God's word in that scenario? You see anything about God's Word being lifted up there in Simon the sorcerer before his conversion? No, he's being lifted up. Big personality. Sensational. You know, they're still pulpiteers. You know that word. I mean, they're masters of the pulpit. Profiteers. Entertainers. Making merchandise of the Word of God to the destruction of souls. The Bible's lost on that. Consider Joel Osteen as just an illustration. You could talk Benny Hinn, Joseph Smith. I mean, go down. History is full of these sorts of men and women who gained a following, but at the expense of the Word of God. The Bible was lost. You see, the gospel of the cross is not based on personalities. It's divine wisdom. And in Corinth, that point needed to be hammered home, because there in Corinth, the wisdom of the Gentiles was on display, and the gospel was foolishness to that crowd. The word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. That's still true today. The word of God is lost on those who profess their wisdom, the wisdom of men, and the wisdom and power of God. That contrast in verses 18 through 25 Paul makes it very clear. He says, we're preaching a message that to the Greeks seems like foolishness, but it's really wisdom. We preach Christ crucified. That's wisdom and power for saving souls, but to the world, that's foolishness. Yet in truth, God Himself, even His foolishness, is wiser than men. But when we allow personalities, sensationalism, the wisdom, the philosophy, the thinking of people to overwhelm God's Word, the place of God's Word in our hearts and lives and faith, then the Bible's lost. Oh, it's still there, but it's not being used. I mean, the Bible was there all the time in the house of the Lord at the temple, but it wasn't being used. It wasn't being read. It wasn't being followed. Same thing can happen today. So when Paul came preaching to Corinth, he came not with the eloquence of speech, excellency of speech, or wisdom of man, declaring the testimony of God. The testimony of God is not dependent upon the personality of the person bringing the message. But rather, he says, the persuasive words of truth he brought combined with miraculous powers that confirmed its heavenly origin, so that your faith would not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So, where do we rest our faith? If our faith rests upon the personality of some person in our lives, rather than of thus saith the Lord, then we've lost the Bible and need to come back to it, because that will not lead us to heaven. Emotionalism, which is kind of a second cousin to, or maybe a first cousin to what we just said, is, you know, Jesus said that it's said in the prophets, taught in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. The prophet said, written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. That's from Isaiah. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So, how we feel about Jesus is not the same as coming to Jesus. The Bible is lost a lot of times because people are just so convicted by what they feel that the mind is blinded to what God's Word says. Because they feel they're saved. They feel it's this way. It's got to be that way, instead of how God has said that it is about salvation, about worship, about our lives before Him, in every aspect of living. God calls sinners through the gospel. He didn't call us through feelings. 2 Thessalonians 2:14, we're called to salvation by the gospel. To the glory of God. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. God's teaching us, if we listen to His Word, but if we elevate how we feel about something above what God's Word says, then we've lost the Bible in our life. Just as surely as it was lost in the temple long ago. Because we've elevated how the heart feels, how I feel inside, above what God says. You know, in Acts 2, we see the opposite, because when they heard the Word of God, when they heard this, when they heard the apostles preach the truth of the Savior and their sin, they were cut to the heart and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Led by truth, Peter said to them, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You see, being directed by what God's Word said, they then received His Word, and about 3,000 that day were saved because they believed it and they obeyed it. They repented and were baptized. That's the process. And when our emotion rules over God's Word, then we've lost God's Word in our life. And we need to return to it and let truth guide us. And that leads us to the final thought here about the Bible is oftentimes lost in pulpits. It's lost in pulpits. You say, well, how can that be? Well, by not preaching the Word. 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5. Paul reminded Timothy that he had a charge that came from heaven itself. He said, "I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, to preach the Word." The charge, Timothy, you have is proclaim the message. What message? Well, God's message, God's Word, the one He's just been talking about that's inspired by God, chapter 3:16. Preach the Word. Be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, or convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers, and will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure hardships. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. I want you to note that there in 3 and 4, you know, we're familiar with the idea of itching ears and wanting to hear our own desires. But look what happens when they do that. They find teachers that will scratch the ear. They find teachers. They'll heap up for themselves teachers that'll do what? They won't preach the Word. They won't reprove, rebuke, exhort. They won't teach sound doctrine. But they'll satisfy the desires of the audience. And ears are turned away from the truth. Because they're not teaching the truth. The Bible's lost when that happens. You see? And Paul says, Timothy, you got to be careful of that. You got to be watchful. You got to be sober in all things in these matters. Do the work of the evangelist. Your ministry is to preach the Word, preach the sound doctrine, not scratch ears of what wants to be heard, but preach the truth so that souls are reproved of sin, corrected, and live righteously. In fact, go back to chapter 16. Teach truth so that with the reproof comes correction, and with the correction, teaching in righteousness, so that we serve God, that we're equipped to do service as the people of God. So we have to speak all the counsel of God and be careful that we don't preach the opinions and ideas of ourselves, but the utterances of God. Speak about sin and salvation. Romans 1:16. Teach about sound doctrine and false doctrine. Titus 2 and verse 1. Speak the things that are proper for sound doctrine, Titus was told. Speak about morality and immorality. Purify ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Speak of heaven and hell. had a great study about hell Friday night in our gospel meeting. We need to speak about heaven and we need to speak about hell because it's revealed truth to encourage us and to warn us. Speak of God's reward and God's punishment. All right? If the Old Testament brought punishment for sin, what do you think is going to happen when we neglect the great salvation we have? That's Hebrews 2 we read earlier. You see, talk about that there are consequences to our choices. There is accountability before God. There's the goodness of God and the severity of God. Romans 11:22. We need all that and more. We need the full counsel of God and consideration of all of God's Word, that by it we don't lose God's Word, but in knowing God's Word, we conform our hearts and our lives to God's will day by day. Now, we have the Bible in front of us, and it's a great blessing. And one that we've committed ourselves to learn, to know, and to live. And I'm brought back to the time of Josiah. Because you see, Josiah's reforms, they were great, but they were really only temporary. They didn't last for very long. Another king arose, one of his sons, and he was evil king. If you go back over there to 2 Chronicles with me, to chapter 34 and verses 24 and 25, prophetess Huldah has a message for King Josiah, and it was, "Thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants, all the curses that are written in the book," that book that was just found and read to you, "which they've read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath will be poured out on this place and not be quenched." Josiah didn't see that, but it came after him. Because you see, Judah refused to repent. The reform was only surface and only for a time. As the king led them in it, they reformed. But when the king died, they turned right back to their sin. And for that, God says, punishment is on the way. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We must, brethren, let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Colossians 3 and verse 16. Let us give it a place in our heart. Give it a place in our home. Give it a place in the church. Give it a place in the zeal for God and His will. Give it a place above the sensationalism of men and the emotions that so often can drive us. Give it a place in the pulpit, in our classes, in our teaching, whenever we speak to someone about truth and righteousness. Let God's Word be the guiding light so that it is not lost, so that it is not put under the so much clutter in our lives, but that it is elevated to its proper place in our hearts. Let it be written on our hearts. You know, that passage from Jeremiah is quoted twice in the book of Hebrews. As we close, let's just remember that God had said in Hebrews 8:10, "I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." And again, chapter 10 and verse 16, "This is the covenant I'll make with them after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them." Then he adds, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Let's write God's word on our hearts. Let's commit ourselves to be regulated by it. That begins by becoming a Christian, and it continues by every moment of our days committing ourselves to walking in the light of truth. And if there's sin in our lives, God says, in this light of truth, to confess your sin, that He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, He said, and the truth is not in us. So, examining ourselves, when we find sin, let's confess it to God. Let's repent of it in our heart. Let's bear the fruit of that repentance so that God's Word is never lost in our lives. Won't you respond to God's call, be saved, while we stand, while we sing.